Where does the metal come from in that fancy new phone? How did the phone get from factory to your pocket? This morning, two stories about old line companies that make the newfangled possible.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. Technology companies and social media dominate the business news, but today it's about two companies that almost seem like a throwback to the 18th century. First, the world's biggest mining company, BHP Billiton of Australia and London, said today it's going to spin off $16 billion worth of its businesses, essentially reversing a merger from 13 years ago. The focus now, old school stuff, digging for iron ore, copper, coal, and oil. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore is here with more.
The markets have known for a long time that the mining industry has been struggling to deal with a fall off in demand. As we see the economy of China slowing, we've seen problems since the financial crisis here in Europe and the US. Now we've seen shares in BHP Billiton actually falling here in London. There's a bit of uncertainty about this split of the company, but also many of the big investors, those pension funds here in London, were expecting some sort of share buyback. There's been no news on that, so a lot of investors taking the attitude, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to sell.
Another one today, ripped from the 18th century business pages, A.P. Møller - Mærsk of Denmark, a company that moves goods on ships across the ocean. They had profits today?
Yeah, the company's announced a significant rise in its profits, but it's worth bearing in mind that Møller - Mærsk was really suffering from having overcapacity. A lot of these big shipping companies in the world started building up their business. They looked at the boom and thought there was going to be a bounty to be had. Suddenly we saw a fall off in demand as various economies slowed, and the company's been struggling to deal with that. The reason profits are up is that they're getting more profit out of the existing business, even though that business is sliding back a bit. They have effectively been cutting their costs.
BBC business reporter Russell Padmore following these stories for us from London. Thank you very much.
David, thank you.
From the old to the new, we've been following the emerging fortunes of a company that rents out your car while you're away. The peer-to-peer economy is the buzzword. Reporter Jeff Tyler takes the service out for a spin.
A company called FlightCar has offices near the airport in Boston, San Francisco, and here in Los Angeles.
How you doing, sir? Are you dropping a car?
I am dropping a car, okay. Yes.
I was dropping off my 2003 Honda Civic. Assistant manager Kenneth Boyd explains what happens next.
Say, for instance, you're going on a five-day trip. We would wash it, prep it, make it look nice and clean, and then we will rent it the whole time you're gone. When you do arrive back, you will receive a check for your car being rented.
For a car like mine, FlightCar pays around 10 cents a mile. But some customers aren't motivated by money. Leslie Tamara Bucci has left her Fiat with the company six times.
The money is less important than the idea of participating in a sharing economy and sharing my car with somebody who might need it while I'm not using it.
To get the full experience, I also rented someone else's car. I rented a 2011 Mercedes for $60 a day, half what competitors charge. The car's owner, Brett Hobbs, needed a place to leave his Mercedes while he was away for almost 4 months.
You get an email every time your car is rented out. And as soon as we left, the emails started pouring in saying that, good news, your car was rented. And I sort of realized, wow, my car really is a rental car now.
If someone crashes the car while it's rented, the company will provide up to $1 million in liability coverage. Hobbs Mercedes was involved in a fender bender.
FlightCar took care of the damage before we got home.
In the end, renters put 6,000 miles on his Mercedes, for which Hobbs got paid about $1,500. How does the income compare to the depreciation of the car?
I think it's probably pretty close to a wash.
Hobbs says he'd use FlightCar again, but next time he'd leave his older car, a 2006 BMW. In my case, my Honda was rented twice, and I got a check for just over $5, about enough to cover the cost of driving to and from the airport. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Happens all the time. Some company comes out with good news, maybe higher than expected profits, and down goes the stock. When I check with experts, they'll tell me, well, buy on the rumor, sell on the news. Now, that may be code for sometimes stocks go up, sometimes they go down. But it's more than that, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Say you're a Wall Street trader. A nifty way to make money? Find out about a big company announcement first. Buy the stock low, sell high. Bill King is a market strategist at M. Ramsey King Securities. Before that, he was a trader for about 20 years.
The smart guys are getting out, and they're looking for the suckers to take their positions off their hands.
By positions, he means stocks or whatever investment they made. And by the rumor, sell the news can work with some big global events, according to Doug Roberts, chief investment strategist at channelcapitalresearch.com. He says traders watch international news closely.
Is it the beginning of something new, or is it the beginning of, you know, just a temporary event that's kind of a blip on the screen?
Take the 1973 oil embargo, when members of OPEC wouldn't sell to the U.S. People in the know bought before oil prices shot up. But Roberts says buy the rumor, sell the news doesn't work all the time. It sounds neat and easy, but it's just one tool for traders. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And when you think German, among other things that come to mind, is advanced technology. But as we told you last month, the Federal Reserve had to send Deutsche Bank a nastygram, a letter telling this big Wall Street player in pointed language that its computer and data systems are crummy and aren't up to the job of auditing and complying with regulations. Now there's news Deutsche is bringing in some new hires to fix this. The new chief information officer will come from Goldman Sachs. The new head of technology infrastructure will come from the Royal Bank of Scotland. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.